Yesterday, we were talking about the goals of humanity. Goals of humanity, towards which the entire humanity is going. This was dramatically represented in the life of Lord Buddha, when he saw three main problems of humanity. The first problem is diseases, illness. So the goal of humanity is to lead a disease-free life. That is the first thing. The second is to have a old age free life. And when I say old age free, I doesn't mean about the body's age. I mean to say the enthusiasm with which you live, your ability to enjoy life, that is youth. Your ability to enjoy life. We have forgotten how to enjoy life completely. We just don't know that you can enjoy each moment of your life. Your enjoyment always depends on some physical happening. You will be happy if your son gets a first class. You will be happy if you get a promotion. So all of our happiness at present is based on some specific physical result. If you don't get the result, you are unhappy. And if you get the result, you are not aware, but what you are going to do is, you are inviting more unhappiness. Can you understand what I am telling? You want to get a seat in medicine. So you come to the Guruji and say, Guruji, I want a rank in M.Tech. Nobody has asked me that they want to become an engineer. No. They say they want a rank in M.Tech. Many of the parents who come to me say, please bless our children that he should be very well educated. And when I say, I take the responsibility of their being happy throughout the life. What do you want? A blessing that they will be happy throughout the life? Or they should be educated? They again say, they should be well educated. You are understanding what I am trying to convey? Your measuring rod of happiness is something physical. If this happens, I am happy. You get an M.Tech seat, then the problem comes, you should get his seat in that engineering college which is just behind your house, with a special entrance for you alone to come from behind. Then you will be happy. Then what? Then you should get good marks. Then again they telephone to me and say, Guruji, today is the campus interview. I didn't first understand what a campus interview is, because when I was a student, there were no campus interviews. So I asked them, what is this campus interview? Then they had to explain to me. I didn't understand actually. But anyway, they should get a campus interview selection. And after that, marriage. After that, children. After that, again MCAT seat for the children. Right? So, the present happiness seems to revolve between MCAT to MCAT. MCAT to the parent, and then MCAT to the children. And in between, various grades. A happiness which depends on external things cannot be permanent. First you should understand that. We don't even know what real happiness is, because we have never understood what happiness is. Happiness is not dependent on external situation. Happiness is an internal situation. If you know how to be happy, you can be happy in any situation. And if you don't know how to be happy, you cannot be happy in any situation. So to be happy always is what I mean by eternal youth. So old age doesn't mean that your skin has wrinkled and your hair is gone. It doesn't matter. The real age is your inability to be happy. The more you are unable to be happy, the more old you are. That is what we say by cynicism. Chadastam. Budhe log kya ho jate? Kuch bhi bolo. So old age is nothing but your ability to be unhappy. The more you are able to be unhappy, the more aged you are. If this is your measuring rod, then all our children are old. All our children are old. If they are not old, you make them old. You see that they become old. You will not allow them to play. You will not allow them to see TV. So one family, the mother came to me and said, what to do? My child is always sitting before the TV. So I said, this is the month of April and March. So you do one thing, from March 1st you remove the connection, cable connection, and put off the TV. Then she said, what am I to do if the TV is not there? You see the irrationality of the whole thinking process of the parents. They want to see the TV, but your children should not see it. How is it possible? I think it goes into the genes. The first and foremost, therefore, in understanding the way of living, that is what Gayatri is. Repeatedly, let me tell you, Gayatri is how to live life. It has nothing to do with the mantra. Mantra is only a short form to remember the various laws of living. And if you go on chanting Gayatri and you don't know how to live, it is a risk. And sometimes you live more actively like a rakshasa. There is no greater believer and practitioner of Gayatri than Ravanasura. Ravana was a great Gayatri exponent. Nobody knows that he has written a great book called Gayatri Tantra. Pujya Gurudev has given it in his second volume. Ravana has written Gayatri Tantra. You know what is Tantra? Technology. Technology means how you should use it. The difference between BE and BTech, I don't know if that difference is clearly brought out in your education system. BE is theoretical. BTech is Tekulu. Posile Konamata. In Telugu, tech means posing. So you know the theoretical engineering or posing engineering. Tantra is the technology, Gayatri technology. So what Sri Guruji, that is Pandit Sri Ram Sharma Acharya, he gave the Gayatri Tantra. That we should know first. We should know that what Pujya Gurudev is given us is not Gayatri. Until now we read only the theoretical aspect, B.E. Those who go to Gayatri Parivar, as initiated by Sri Ram Sharma Acharya, they know the Gayatri Tantra. Very clearly Gurudev mentioned, Ashta Siddhi Navanidhike Data Sab Samardha Gayatri Mata. That is what he wants you to get. You should get the Ashta Siddhi. You should get the 9 treasures, the Nidhis. And many of our great pandits, I have asked them, what is this Ashta Siddhis and now Nidhis? Until now I didn't find a very conclusive answer outside Guruji's literature. In Guruji's literature it is very clearly mentioned. Very clearly mentioned. On the 5th or 6th page of Gayatri Mahavigyan, 1st volume, he states this. The only goal of Gayatri is you should have Ashta Siddhis and Navanidhis with you. Do you practice Gayatri with this in view? No. And then can we say that we have understood Pujya Gurudev? In Gayatri Parivar, that is what he intended, that everyone must have Ashta Siddhis and Navanidhis. It is possible. It is possible. So that is what yesterday I was telling you, you should have a disease free of life and then enthusiasm towards life. You want to go on living. Not that when she will die, what a bad karma it is. God only knows when he will take away. Nobody wants to live, but they live. Gayatri gives you a zeal towards life, a zest towards life. You will be full of life, full of energy. You will not worry about the failures you have faced. It shows you that all the failures are nothing but stepping stones to success. In science, very rarely do you get a scientist succeeding in every experiment. Is it a fact? Do you think that when a scientist experiments, his every experiment is a success? No. As far as I know, since my childhood, thousands of scientists, especially biotechnologists, are trying to find a cure for cancer. And they are working in groups, spending crores of dollars, not rupees, throughout the world. So since at least 60 years, I know that research is going on for finding a cure for cancer. Go to any cancer institute, talk with the scientist, he will be ready for the next experiment. even though after 60 years of research, all his experiments are failure, still he continues the research, is it not? And with more enthusiasm, because he says, now we are zeroing in. Now we have eliminated all the non-probabilities. We are now becoming more probable of getting a cure for cancer. So do you understand what a scientist mentality is? Always the zeal towards finding out the cause. And here if some small thing happens, gone everything. All the benefits that you have got is gone. Just because you got a headache, they say, Gayatri mujhko suit nahi karta. Why? Because I got a headache. So poor Gayatri is waiting for you to do Gayatri and give you a headache. That is the purpose of Gayatri. How foolish we are, being Indians. We say God is giving me problems. I pray to God, it doesn't suit. I pray to Lalita, it does not suit me. I pray to Rama, all difficulties. No, don't pray to Rama. Krishna, no. He is the great 420, don't pray to him. Bada natkhat aur chor hai. No. That is how we measure the God. What happened to our intelligence? What happened to our culture, I don't know. A God whom you call is all loving, all compassionate. You say you got your difficulties because of them. I heard many people, no, Gayatri is very powerful, don't do it. Many pandits talking about it. No, you should not do Gayatri. Yes, there is a class of people who should never do Gayatri. That is what Sri Gurudev also told. There are a class of people, but they are those who do not breathe. Those who do not breathe need not do Gayatri. You got the point? So who should do Gayatri? Whoever is alive should do Gayatri. It is your right to do Gayatri. If anybody says no, give him a good slap. Don't be cowed down, because it is your right to breathe. If someone says you should not breathe, will you accept it? Even if you want to accept it, you can't do it. You are forced to breathe. If I close your mouth and nose for a few minutes, what will happen? So Gayatri is the fundamental right of living. I don't know how they have made a God out of it. They have made a nonsensical issue out of it, saying that ladies should not do, only these people should do, because they don't understand what Gayatri is. To live a disease-free life, do you say that somebody has no authority to live a disease-free life? Everyone has a freedom, has a choice to live a disease-free life. You can't say that a particular class, a particular sect, a particular sex has no freedom. They have to be always diseased. Can you say that? And if you accept that you have a right to live a disease-free life, you have a right to do Gayatri. So you remember that. Don't go with what these scholars say. Dalton used to say that atom is unbreakable. After that, they said, you can split the atom. And God only knows, now there is a very peculiar technology coming up, quantum technology. I think those in the computer industry may understand this topic. But if and when the quantum technology comes into a practical technology, people will really understand the basics of Gayatri. You remember this. Very soon you are going to hear about it quantum technology. If quantum technology really takes ground, if really quantum technology is useful now as the present technology is being used, that will be the basics of Gayatri Mahavidya. You understand what I mean? We don't know the basics of Gayatri Mahavidya now. If and when the scientists understand quantum technology, they may understand what Gayatri Mahavidya wants to tell you. But I am now giving you the basics of Gayatri Mahavidya, that if you want to be a disease-free humanity, you have to know the art of living. And art of living means Gayatri. They are synonyms. Gayatri in modern technology is called the art of living. And we have forgotten that art. Next, what I told you yesterday, I told you a old age free life. That is what there it is written, Janma Mrityu Jara Rogai. Every temple is meant for that. If you know how to use the technology of Gayatri, again I am telling you, because we have so much indoctrinated that Gayatri is some power high in the sky. No, she is your breath. When you are breathing, it is Gayatri. When the breath is coming out, it is Gayatri. First, let me fix this into your mind. Your breath is Gayatri. So don't ask me, can I do Gayatri or not? You are already doing it. The only thing is, you should know the rationale of it. The technology of breathing. In Sanskrit, breathing is known as Shvasa. And when you can use your breath as a weapon, astra, when you can use your Shvasa as a weapon, astra, it becomes a Shastra. So Shvasa, the science of breathing is Shastra. Rasayana Shastra, chemistry. It has got a specific way of breathing. You try to understand what I am trying to tell you. It is not difficult, but it becomes so simple that if you want to learn Rasayana Shastra, you should know how to breathe like a chemist. You understood? You change your breath, your mindset changes. If you can breathe like a chemist, you know Rasayana Shastra. Bhautika Shastra, physics. So what you are supposed to do? You should know how to breathe like a physicist. Bhugarbha Shastra, geologist. So if you want to become a geologist, you need not read the books. What you are supposed to do? Change your breathing. That is Shastra. And because you don't know how to change your breathing, you are filled with a lot of words which changes your breathing. You read for 5 years chemistry. In 5 years, unknowingly, you start breathing like a chemist. You become a chemist. If your breath doesn't change, you fail in the exam. Why you fail in the exam is because you don't know how to breathe like a chemistry man. That is what is known by Ajapa Gayatri. Ajapa Gayatri is this technology of knowing everything. So if you know how to breathe, you will know the subject. That is what Gayatri said. Gayatri says. And that is why it is known as Veda Mata, mother of knowledge. knowledge of anything, of anything. But you should know how you should breathe about it. And many people ask me, then we can become chemists, physicists, with just changing your breath, yes? With each breath you can become once a chemist, once a physicist, once a doctor, once a scientist, whatever you want to. But you should learn the technique. See, once you have electricity, all the machines operate. Which machine? Whatever machine you want. It may be a washing machine. It may be a computer working in the NASA Institute. But both need the same electricity, is it not? So to enjoy life, what you need is, you should know how to breathe like a man enjoying life. Got the point? Your happiness is not in the result, not from MCET to MCET, the parent MCET to the child MCET, no. Your happiness lies in how you breathe. And again, the scientists, especially the anatomy scientists, the physiologists, the doctors say that when you breathe, the breath goes into two parts, into the two lungs. On the right side, it goes into three lobes. On the left side, it goes into two lobes. Then how many? Your breath, your shwasa has split into five. That is your panchaprana. That is the panchamukhi gayatri. So, your breathing controls the five plexus, five centers in your body. What the yogis say, the muladhara, the swadhisthana, you heard about them? The manipuraka, the anahata and the vishuddhi. So this happens if you know how to breathe and send the various lobes that are in your lungs, three lobes this side, two lobes this side, and below it in the center, the heart. So if you know how to breathe and send the air that is going in to the required lobes, you can control the five senses. As simple as that. As simple as that. But for everything, it is the practice which is important. But unfortunately, those who are doing Gayatri have forgotten this simple factor, that what you are supposed to do with Gayatri is change your breathing pattern. Your breathing pattern must change. What Gurudev writes in Gayatri Mahavigyana is, the pranamaya kosha must change. You have five types of pranas. One is the prana itself, then samana, vyana, udana and apana. So the entire magic of Gayatri is to know how to change these five pranas. For this you have a formula. And before going into the formula, let me tell you, modern day science goes to the basic structure of matter and says that it is electrical in nature. According to the modern science, matter is electrical in nature. A positive nucleus, a negative electron. So the smallest particle in matter which you can come into contact is electrical in nature. Our yogis say Electricity is not the fundamental. Sound is the fundamental. That is where the era must change. Yesterday I was telling you about the era, you understood? Era means your basic thought current. Kali Yuga, Kali Era, the basic thought current is materialism. Whatever you want, it is based on something material. If it is not material, it is immaterial for us. That is Kali Yuga. So I want another era change in you. Electricity is not fundamental, sound is fundamental. That is what our Rishi says, Shabda Brahman, the creative power of sound. And this creative power of sound, just as the atom is split into three electrical parts, a neutral electrical part, a neutron, a positive electrical part, a proton, and a negative electrical part, an electron. Similarly, the fundamentals of sound technology is split into three sounds, A, U and Ma. Just as you can understand the modern science, whether it is physics, chemistry or anything, basing on these three electrical units of atom, even if you read microbiology, even if you read biochemistry, any science, it is based on the concept that matter fundamentally is electrical in nature with three units. A positive unit, smallest part, a negative unit, electron, and of course a neutral unit, neutron. You understood? When you got matter and tried to understand it, and got to its triple fundamentals, you are having all these miracles. Clear? All of you understood? Any doubts? The progress of science in materialism is because of these three fundamental units. Similarly, the progress in spiritual science is based on three fundamental sounds, A, U and Ma, which together constitute an atom, Om. Om is the atom. Its constituents are A, U, Ma. And just as you can create bombs means condensed energy. That is what I mean, that's all. Similarly, when you split the Om, the basic atom of sound, you have a neutron bomb, a proton bomb, an electron bomb in the form of A, U, Ma. And now we come to another important point, conquering death. You are following the thought current. I am not talking about spiritualism. I am not talking about God. I am talking about the basic needs of all humanity, whatever it is. Whether you are an American, whether you are a German, whether you are an Indian, or whether you belong to some other community. All of us want to be disease free, is it not? The basics of humanity. That is Gayatri. You want to have a just for life. You want to enjoy life. Can you tell me when you were really happy last time? You just go back and tell me. Time machine, go on your time machine. Can you really tell me that you are happy? You were happy at that time. Can you remember one single incident? Then you feel, yes, that was the greatest moment of ecstasy for me. We don't know what ecstasy means. We use that word, that's all. We only know Just as in Guntur we have a saying that there are only two seasons, hot summer and summer. Similarly, we are very unhappy or unhappy, that's all. We are never happy. Because we are not very unhappy, this unhappy feels happy. Try to understand how we have degraded ourselves, how we have forgotten our life, how we have forgotten to be naturally happy. And remember, just as to be disease free is your birthright, happiness is your birthright and you have forgotten it. And the third point now, what I am stressing is immortality. You need not die. All of you must have heard about Garuda Purana, and probably those who are interested, in the first 10 days of the death, people at their homes get a reading of Parayana of Garuda Purana. I don't know if this practice is continuing here or not, but there are some homes. And when I first read about Garuda Purana in Guruji's literature, Sri Ram Sharma Acharya's literature, and I brought it and opened it, my parents and their friends and all of them literally pounced on me and snatched away that book. They said, no, you should not read it. Why? Because it is read only when somebody dies. But Garuda Purana talks about immortality. It doesn't talk about death, it speaks about immortality. That is why you read it. A very close friend of Lord Sri Krishna, who was a Lord Sri Krishna's classmate's disciple, Jwala Kul Maharshi, is still alive in Himalayas. Still alive, even after the death of Krishna. Technically we say it is about 5000 years that Lord Krishna came to on earth. So his age must be about 5000 years. But believe me, I have seen a group of people in Himalayas where the youngest of them, they said, a bachcha hai ye to. And when I met him, he said his age was 20,000 years. And the people there say him a bachcha. So just because we don't know and we can't believe that we can live for thousands of years, that doesn't mean that there are not people who are living since thousands of years. And if a few people can live for thousands of years, why can't you? You are following the rationale of it. If one man can do it, you can also do it. That is what science says. If Newton knows the laws and discovered it, you need not worry about the various troubles he has undergone to understand that laws. You can utilize it immediately. You need not work to get those laws. What you have to do? You have just to apply those laws. The same thing here also. Same thing here also. That is why I am very proud of my Gurudev, Sri Ram Sharma Acharya, when he said, I am giving you a scientific religion. Vaigyanika Adhyatmikata. A scientific religion. What does it mean? If one scientist discovers something, again you need not discover it. Is there a need to discover? What should you do? You just put what he has discovered into practice. And unfortunately, because we only know the names of our rishis but not their laws, we cannot put it in practice. If you only know Newton and you don't know the Newton's laws, what happens to the science? The Newton is not important there, the Newton's laws are important. The Dalton's theory, the Dalton is not important, the Dalton's theory is important. In Einstein's law, in Einstein's theory of relativity, or the law of mass energy equivalence, the Einstein is not important. Who is important? The law is important, and in our spiritualism, the rishi becomes important and the law is gone. You just imagine what happens in science if only Newton is there, these laws are gone. Only Einstein is there and the laws are gone. What happens? The same thing will happen, what happened to our spiritualism. So beware of this. When you are practicing spiritualism, you are not doing any new sadhana. You are trying to learn what that rishi has said. That is why when we talk about a formula like Gayatri, we have a rishi for that Gayatri. When we say Vishwamitra is rishi for Gayatri, when we say Vasistha is the rishi for Gayatri, it doesn't mean that you should know about Vishwamitra. You should know what Vishwamitra said about Gayatri. You understand what I am trying to convey? You forget about Vishwamitra, to hell with him. But you know what he told about Gayatri, that is very important, therefore Vishwamitra is important. All of us have our gotras. I don't know if you remember, if you know your gotras. And if you know your gotras, you should know your rishis also. And if you know your rishis, you should know what they told you. We have forgotten it. So what we are supposed to do is, we will have to remember it. What you have forgotten, you have only to remember. You remember, you don't forget to which point I am driving you. I am talking about Om. And what is Om? Is the ultimate atom of sound. Just as there is an atom for every element, for every sound there is an Om. But let me not confuse you today about the so many Ohms. In some poster I have seen, there is 128 names of Om. Have you seen that poster? Somewhere, while I was traveling inside, and I wondered what a great truth he is telling, and I don't know if people are understanding it or not. You know there are 92 atoms? There are 92. What atoms I mean? Natural atoms. And after that, about 22 man-made atoms. They are short-lived, of course, as human beings are. And if you talk about atomic energy, Jwalakul Maharshi, about whom I am going to talk very soon, because one of his physical avatars is Pujya Gurudev. So when I talk about Sriram Sharma Acharya, I am talking about his basic consciousness as Jwalakul Maharshi. If there are, he says in one of his books, which deals about the Yajna process, how to utilize fire, he says that there are 92 powers of atomic energies. Because there are 90 atoms, naturally atomic energy also must be of 90 types. Common sense. Similarly, the basic ultimate atoms of sound are 56 in number, what we know as the alphabet. 16 for us and 50 vowels. Am I right? You are understanding what I am talking about? A, I, E, U, U, A, I, O, O, Ammaha. If you know how to chant these 12 letters, A, A, I, E, U, U, A, I, O, O, Ammaha, 12. You are the controller of time. 12 months can be controlled by these sound atoms. But of course, I am not going to dwell deep into that aspect in this series of lectures. But what I want you to remember permanently is that Mantra Shastra, what is Shastra? The technology of using your breath. Shwasa utilized as a astra. That is Shastra. You should know how to use your breath. And many people, you are able to hear me, na?
Yes.
It's okay, man. Don't forget about that aspect. Many people don't understand that each word you are speaking is a bomb, if you know how to use it. Before you use a bomb, you should unpin it. Have you ever used a bomb? Let us hope that time will never come. Don't use a bomb. But the technology of the bomb is, you have to unpin it. You have to remove a pin from it and then throw it. And if the pin is there, even if you throw it, there is no use. So why our words are not becoming mantras is because we are not utilizing our breath along with it. Our breathing is not synchronized with our breath. And any sound which is synchronized with our breath becomes a bomb, a powerful tool. So you go on repeating a mantra. You are doing the japa. But what you are supposed to do? You are supposed to synchronize your breath with the mantra. And when these two synchronize, when your breath and the sound synchronize, you will get what is known as the mantra siddhi. Understood? And every word of yours, if you can tune it with your breath, it can become a blessing. Then Gurudev used to say that many people used to come to him, and lakhs and lakhs of people got benefited by his blessings. And even now you can touch him. He has left his physical body only. He is still on planet Earth. And you can still contact him. You can still get his physical material blessings as if he is in his physical body. Once when I was sitting with him, he was going through the various letters of problems that were written to him. Many people write to him, "I have this problem, I have this problem." And I was sitting with him on that day, and he was going through those letters. And for some letters he used to say, "Yes, right, his desire will be fulfilled." For some others he said, "Let him write again. If he writes again, we will see." You understand what he meant by that? Persistence. Once we write a letter and we don't get a reply, immediately we say that guru is useless. We will go and search for another guru. So he used to say, "This letter, no, let him write once again. At least he has to write 5 times to me, then I will look after his problem." You are hearing it? No, the audio is clear. You try to understand what I am trying to convey. You be persistent in your approach to the guru. Don't say that I have prayed once and I didn't get the result, because there are so many factors which are involved therein. About immortality, when I was trying yesterday, talking about it, I told you that there are 2 parameters for immortality. One is, you should be aware that you have a many, many number of births. You are born previously also, and you are going to be born many times in future. This must be the change in your thought. This is not the single birth. It is a continuity of a chain. Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tavacharjana tanyaham veda sarvani natvam vetha parantapa. This is the basis of spiritualism if you want to go to immortality. For the first two, this is not necessary. What is the first two? First is, this is free life. Any disease can be cured instantaneously. Next, what I told you, the zest for life, happiness, enjoying life, that is old age free. For this you need not know what I am now telling you. But because it is a part of Gayatri, I have to cover that also, immortality. It is possible. Physical immortality is possible. And modern days, the biochemists say that if you cannot live for 250 years, it is your fault. Have you read about it? The present day medical men, the medical lamas, if you can say, the medical purohits, they are saying that according to the genes with which you are born, every human being should live at least for 250 years. And if he is not living for that much time, it is his fault. He has mismanaged his physical body. Now, a lifetime of 70 years has gone to 250 years. You can prolong it if you know how to live. For that, I was telling you about the basic sound unit or atom, Om. If you know how to utilize Om and its three components, A, U, Ma, you become immortal. Tasya vachakaha pranavaha. In Patanjali Yoga Sutras, it says that God's name is Om. And what is God? That who is immortal, imperishable, who doesn't die. Can you believe a God can die? So, if you want to become immortal, you should know how to utilize Om. Immediately many people say, who said I want to become immortal? If I can live these 2-3 years happily, that is enough. Then don't go for Om. Okay? So this A, U and Ma give you three potential energies. What in our sound technology is known as Veda Mata, Deva Mata and Vishwa Mata. So these three sounds, A, U, Ma, A is the mother of Veda Mata. Veda Mata means knowledge, mother of knowledge. And do you know that you can't utter a word until it is linked with A? You can utter a word Ka only is linked with A and it becomes Ka. You understood what I am trying to tell you? Probably for many people it is something new. You have forgotten what you have read in your childhood days. Achulu, Hallulu. In English also you have A, E, I, O, U. These are the five, what we know as the vowels. And the others are consonants. Until it is linked with these five vowels, you can't utter it. So, A is the basic sound of knowledge. Because any word you want to utter, it has to be linked with A. And Mandukya Upanishad, It says that one who knows awe conquers the physical world. He becomes the master of the material world. And it is 100% correct. 100% correct. If you know how to chant awe, you say, I know it. You have forgotten that I told you that this world must be linked with your breath. That you should know. And that leads into another course, what is known as pranayama. So I am making things a bit difficult. But any science is to be difficult. Any technology, until you know, it is very difficult. But once you know it, it is very simple. I am trying to make it as simple as possible. So, you have O and A, U, Ma. These are the basic sound atoms which you use in the construction of various types of blessings. When a guru blesses, it is not the blessing and the words which are important. It is his breath which flows with it that is important. Can you follow me what I told you? It is not the sounds that is important. It is the breath which is important, which flows with the sound. And unfortunately, we are split into two. Your breath is somewhere, your word is somewhere. This union is the real yoga. The union of the physical body's mouth and the union of the prana. This union between Annamaya and Pranamaya Shariras is the basics of all yoga. But the basics are only four in number. Om is the synthesized basic, and the parts of Om is A, U, Ma. When you understand these basics of Om, you can conquer the three planes of nature, Bhur, Bhuvah, Swaha. You try to understand this today. And from tomorrow, if possible, after the class, we will take up some practical sessions also, those who are interested. Not today. But today, when you go back home, try to discuss between yourself what I have told you. It is a great science that I am giving to you. And very soon this science will become a common science. And you will be the forerunners of it. If you utilize it, just hearing it is not enough. Om, A, U, Ma. Om is a synthetic sound. You understand? The three planes synthesize. What are the three planes? The physical plane. And when I speak about the physical plane, I don't mean only the planet Earth. I mean the entire cosmos. That is the physical plane. So if you know how to utilize and join your breath with it. Many people have asked me, do you know it? How to merge it? I said, if I know it, I will not be teaching to you, I would be practicing it. Got the point? If I know the secret, will I divulge it to you? No. Akhilanda Koti, Brahmanda Nayaka, Rajadhi Raja, Yogi Raja. You can also become that. But you want to become Akhilanda Koti, Brahmanda Nayaka without doing anything, but you know to become a software engineer, you have to read for 22 years, night and day. Is it not? And you want to understand the science of Gayatri in just one day, even without trying to put it in practice. So when I am trying to make it simple, I am making it simple because the rishis have made it simple. Einstein has made the Einstein's laws simple. Is it not? Anyone who is reading the 8th class knows about E is equal to mc square. But do you think that because nowadays the 8th class student can know E is equal to mc square, E is equal to mc square is a simple FI? It is not simple. It is simple because someone who has mastered those secrets are telling us. And we are lucky to have such a man with us, our Gurudev. But nobody reads his books. Nobody tries to understand him. But I give a challenge. If together for 5 years we can go like this, we have mobile phones, emails, CDs, VCDs. If you can give me 2 hours of your day for 5 years, we can show the world by making the world a heaven. I don't want hundreds of people, thousands of people. A really genuine people who want to master this science. That is where Pujya Gurudev used to say, there must be a revolution in your thoughts. When I am speaking all these things, your thinking process must be revolutionized. And the revolution, do you mean what it means? A complete change in your lifestyle. A complete change in your way of thinking. Not just saying, yes, it's okay. It's beautiful. No, you have to change yourself. You have to understand what I am talking about. What I am talking about? If you know how to chant Ah, you can conquer the entire physical cosmos. Physical cosmos, you can move the planet Earth, just as Archimedes said, give me a place to stand. You know the Archimedes principle? You read about it? How many of you have heard about Archimedes? Only 2 people. Okay. But have you heard about this statement of his? Give me a place to stand, I will lift the earth. That is what Archimedes said about his principle. We read about his principle, but now you have a place to stand. You can go into the space by the space station, you can lift the earth. If you know the Archimedes principle. Similarly, if you know how to utilize the sound R, you can change anything in the physical plane, even in any galaxy. That is what is meant by Bhur. Oh, Bhur. Bhur means the entire physical phenomena. All the galaxies, and God only knows what is behind the galaxies, the black holes. I don't know what a black hole is, but they say there are many black holes. Even that, they say, can be controlled by awe. Then you can control your emotions, your desires. What is known as the Kamamaya Loka or the Bhuvar Loka, which is subtler than this plane. You can conquer it. By which sound? This Bhuvar Loka is also known as the plane of dreams. So you can conquer your dream world. When I say your dream world, I don't mean your dream world. Your dream world, your dream world, your dream world. The entire humanity has got his own dream world. A conglomeration of all those dream worlds plus something else. That is what is known as the dream world. Scientists say, the psychologists, said that dreams have a multi-purpose usage if you know how to dream. Did you know that you can dream yourself? That you can control your dreams? How many of you know this? You can control your dream. And if you control your dream, what does it mean? You are controlling the world. Somebody dreamt about the aeroplane, it is now controlling us. Is it not? So if you know how to dream and how to control it, that is bhuvaha, the physical plane, the dream world. But don't make it individual, mind you. I am not talking about individual dream world and individual physical world. I am talking about the plane of existence, the physical plane of existence, the dream plane of existence, bhuvaha. And then, the most important thing about which Gayatri is the key is known as the thought world, the world of ideas. We are now living in a world of ideas. This temple previously was an idea, is it not? The car was previously an idea. Whatever you look again, the dress you are seeing, all these are ideas taken form, is it not? So Gayatri Mantra tells you how to control your thoughts, thereby control your dreams, and thereby control your physical world. So that is the process. How thoughts change your desires, change your physical world. When I was asked by my management to start a biochemistry MSc course, I said okay. Then suddenly people used to come to me, and the parents used to come to me and said, what is the use of biochemistry? What benefit will my son get if he reads biochemistry? I said, I also don't know. My management has said to me, please see the development of the biochemistry department. I am sitting in this chair. I don't know. You ask a biochemist. I am only a man who was appointed by the management to look after the development of biochemistry. But once I was sitting there and so many parents and students coming for advice, thinking that I know about biochemistry, I was forced to read biochemistry to give them advice. And something peculiar happened. In biochemistry I read about 20 amino acids and 4 plus 4 nucleic acids. That is 24. And Gayatri Mantra has also got 24 letters. And I was thinking that probably these 24 letters and these amino acids and nucleic acids are interlinked. I didn't know whether they are interlinked or not. Then peculiarly I came across a book, Human Physiology and Vedas. It was written by Dr. Tony Nader, a very famous MD-DM neurologist, a Nobel Prize winner. And in that book he says that every atom of your physical body, and in the physical body they don't call it as atoms, they call it as cells. So he wrote in that book, Human Physiology and Vedas, that every cell of yours is made up by the sound technology of Rig Veda. He proved it. Your body is made up of Rig Veda cells, Rig Veda sound. He proved it. He wrote a book on it. And by writing that book, German university, I don't remember the name of the university, he was weighed in gold because he wrote such a grand book. And we Indians don't know what Vedas are. And they say that every cell of yours is made up of Veda. So what are you? You are Vedamurti. Murti means materialized, crystallized. So when Pandit Srinath Sharma Acharya, our Gurudev, told me that all of you are Vedamurtis, I didn't understood it. I did not understand it in 1971 when he was talking about it. But now I know that what he told was right. You may not be knowing that you are made up of cells, but you are made up of cells, is it not? And what does Gurudev say? The cells are made up of sound atoms, which are known as the rigs of Vedas. You have that CD with you? So tomorrow if you can show it, it will be wonderful. How your human body, Lord Ganesha, Shiva, etc. are all in your physical body, physically present as you are depicting them there. You can see it literally with your eyes. And then what happens? You become Devamurti. Vedamata, Devamata. From Vedamata, you become Vedamurti. From Devamata, you become Devamurti. You are understanding the rationale? So, Om Bhur Bhuvasva. Utilizing this sound, Om, you can control your thought, thereby controlling the thought atmosphere. Have you ever heard about David Hume, a Nobel Prize winner in chemistry? He's still alive, probably about 70 years or so. He's aged. He says that the entire world is nothing but a thought pattern on which the creation comes down. This is a scientist's approach to modern quantum chemistry. He is not talking about Upanishads. He is not talking about Vedas. He is talking about pure chemistry. Do you know what he has written? He says that every atom is a creation of your thought. Every atom has got its own idea sphere. And if you can change the idea sphere of the atom will change. And our yogis do that. They take sand and they can make it gold. What did they do? According to David Bohm's theory, the sand has got its own idea sphere. That is why it is sand. If you can change its idea into gold, this sand will become gold. It is quite possible. I have seen many people doing it. And as usual, we don't believe Indians. So I will give a reference to European Britisher collectors who were, I don't remember the name of that collector, he was in charge of that area where the Narmada River is in Madhya Pradesh. So in 1870s or so, there was a yogi there who is known as, what is known as the Dhuniwala Baba. You know Dhuni? Dhuni means fire. So one day, a Rani went to him and presented him with a golden shawl, the Jerry golden shawl. And you know the Babas are very moody. They don't care whether you are a king or something or something. So when she presented the shawl to him, he threw it into the Dhuni. What happened? It burned. And this poor princess, she was very much hurt, but she couldn't talk anything. She just going down and saying, I should not have presented it to him. At least if I had kept it, I could have used it myself.
He called back.
I thought you'd give me that. So you don't want to give me? Okay. He put his hand in the dhuni, brought back the shawl and gave it to him. The collector writes about this incident. And this Dhuniwala Baba has a very peculiar habit. He would die and again be seen in some other village. 3 times he died like that. And being a very famous man, they built a very good, what does he mean? A smaraka? You understand what? A tomb for him. Weeping. After 2 years again he is there, in the same form, with the same age, in another village. Why I am giving you this example? Because I am talking about immortality. So these 3 things are possible if you know how to breathe. Freedom from disease, freedom from old age, freedom from death also. I was talking about Garuda Purana, is it not? In that it is written, a man dies because from so many births he is habituated to die, therefore this birth also he dies. He dies because he is habituated to die. Just as, even though you don't want to smoke, but you are habituated to smoke, therefore you go on smoking. Similarly, if you don't want to die also, you will die because you are habituated to die. If you can come out of that habit, you need not die. With this background, I stop. So what I told you, remember. Om, the basic unit of life. It has 3 components. A, U, Ma. Just as you know the basic components of an atom and have such a great technology, by knowing the basic components A, U, Ma, you have a tremendous life shaking science in your hand. And what does it do? It will change the thoughts. That is why Pujya Gurudev says it is a formula for thought revolution. We have become so materialistic in nature that we just don't know how to think. If I say to you, you don't know how to think. You are molded in a particular way. You are molded as an engineer, you will think as an engineer. You are molded as a doctor, you will think like a doctor. And now I challenge you, can you mold yourself into the pattern of the rishis and control your thoughts? That is swaha. And thoughts controlling your dreams? That is bhuva. And the dreams becoming physical realities? That is bhur. Om, bhur, bhuva, swaha. This is the 5-lettered basic Gayatri Moola Mantra. This is the Moola Mantra for Gayatri. Guruji, in his Gayatri Chitravali, very clearly mentions this. Om Bhur Bhava Swaha is the basic mantra, the Moola Mantra. And then what is Tat Savitur Varenyam? It tells you how to utilize the physical plane. Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi, how to utilize your dream world. Dhiyo Yonaha Prachodayat, how to utilize your physical world. So this is the real Gayatri Mantra which tells you how to live. Om Bhur Bhavasva Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhiyo Yona Prachodayat. From tomorrow, after finishing the class, we will go in some for practical sessions with those who are interested. So probably from tomorrow I will stop it by 7:45. And from 8 to 8:15 I will give you a practice. But practice means you have to practice. You will not learn it in one day. But let me tell you the guarantee given by Pujya Gurudev. Very symbolic, huh? the light's coming when the guarantee is being told. He said that whosoever is hearing these words, whoever it may be, either you people or those who are going to hear about this through you, all of us were with me in 3 previous births, whether you know it or not. All of us were with him when he was as Kabir. All of us were with him when he was as Samartha Guru Ramdas. And all of us were with him when he was on this planet Earth as Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. And he says that again in this life, I am bringing you together. It is my call which has brought you together. Don't neglect it. Because many are called, but few are self-chosen. I don't say chosen, because it is not the guru who chooses. It is the disciple who chooses. It is you who have desired to become an engineer and have become an engineer. It is you who have decided to become a doctor and have become a doctor. And it is you who have to decide to become a Gayatri engineer, a Gayatri scientist. But as usual, you have to work hard. Okay? Jai Gurudev.